Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Eller. Here is your host, live from Shark Bass's Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are waiting on Andre to give us a call here today. That's right. Former Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer is going to be calling us today on the call-in line, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. Gosh knows, I've got a lot of questions to ask him, so... You know, he's been very busy. He's gotten into business in a big way. And, you know, anything that Andre decides to go after, he goes after full-heartedly. So that's what we're going to be talking to in just a minute. And I'm looking forward to it. But in the meantime, did you know gold has made it over $1,500? I am absolutely, positively in shock. I'm looking at stuff and saying, do I need it or shall I sell it? Because the opportunity is right now to sell. So hello, how about if you've got stuff sitting at home, I would definitely bring it in. It's got to come back down. I know a lot of people that we have talked to across the country, people that own jewelry stores are saying, hey, I'm giving it up, folks. We're not, but I know people that are because the price is so high. And they know, just like I know, it's not going to last. So do you have stuff that's sitting at home? Bring it today. Silver has made it over $45 an ounce. Over $45 an ounce. I cannot believe it. So if you have that sterling silver flatware, do you have that hollowware? We're talking tea sets, trays. These things that you have had and loved for years, and now, you know, you talk about giving them to your children, and they say, Mom, I just don't think I want to polish it. Are you tired of polishing it and only using it once or twice a year? What would you do with the money? What would you do with the money? Would you take a vacation? Would you help put some money down for that college education? Would you just splurge on something for yourself because you're tired of having no money? Well, if that's the case, give us a call right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. That's 229-6613. Set up a time to come see us. Have you got silver jewelry that you don't wear anymore? It just doesn't shine anymore. It's not what you want. Maybe it was. Maybe the styles have changed. We are buying bags, and I mean literally bags of sterling silver jewelry. Would you like to bring that in here? Hey, bring it in here. You will be amazed. I've had several people in the last few days bring a bag in, go home, and look for some more because they've been so amazed at what they've had here. So bring it in today. Silver's over $45 an ounce. Platinum, almost $1,800 an ounce. And gold at over $1,500 an ounce. It is your seller tunery. Right now, so come see us. Oh, I cannot believe it. I don't believe it can go much higher before it starts falling back. Why lose out? And I'll bet that we have Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer on the air with us now. Is he on the air with us?
He is.
How you doing today, Andre?
I'm doing super, Ann. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I have been looking forward to talking to you since I talked to you a week, 10 days ago, and it is such an honor to have you on the show today.
Oh, I miss talking to y'all.
Well, we've missed you too. So what have you been doing?
I have been trying to make a living since I hadn't been doing it for the last 14 years very well. I focus a little bit more time on working and focus a little more time on having some fun.
Well, that's good. How are you doing on this, focusing on making money? Are you in real estate? What are you doing?
I am. I do a lot of real estate.
And how do you find the real estate market? I know a lot of people are saying, oh, I can't sell my house. I'm just stuck. How are you finding it out there?
It's an opportunity right now, especially if you're a buyer. If you're a seller, you just got to get creative and you got to offer good deals.
So where are you living now?
I am in Columbia right now.
Okay.
I live in whatever product I have that is vacant and available.
Okay, so if somebody comes by and says, Andre, I like this place, you say it's available.
I move. It's for sale. I mean, all of mine are for sale.
Well,
and so I move in them, I fix them up, I decorate them, and then I put them back on the market.
You know, Andre, I was reading some the article that was in the the Greenville magazine, Black Box. Think outside the Black Box, a business magazine that you did.
Yes, ma'am.
Back in when was that? I don't even know. But it's a picture of you on the cover, and the whole article is about how, from the very get-go, you were into being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Correct. And
yes,
know,
ma'am.
You know, I think the thing about it is, you didn't grow up rich. You were pretty poor.
Well, I'm still not rich, but I had a real desire to try to improve my lifestyle and be independent. To me, it was all, I didn't ever want to have to worry about asking anybody for anything. And so whether it was, getting through college or after college or even now, I don't even like having to be beholden to a bank. I like my independence, and I like being able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So I tell young people, I say, the harder you work in school, it's not always about having money. It's about having options.
That's true. And, one of my favorite commercials on TV right now, I don't know if you've seen it, is the Verizon commercial with...
It's that little girl selling the lemonade.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. I think it's terrific, and it just shows, and yet how many times do we read stories across the country where the government is saying, you got to have a license to have a little lemonade stand and this type of thing, and yet this girl made it a mega-million-dollar company.
And there is some truth to that. I mean, to tell you, the other day I was redoing my personal home, and I had to go get a permit to paint the interior.
Excuse me?
You heard me correctly. And to paint the exterior, somebody painted graffiti on my house, and they have my house in Charleston, and I went and said, I want to paint. They said, we got to go down to the BAR. So Board of Architectural Review had to approve me before I could get a permit to paint graffiti on the side of my house.
And yet somebody had defaced your house.
I had to pay to be able to fix it, dude.
What has happened to to this type of thing, Andre?
We've gone nuts, and we keep hiring more people. Government continues to grow. This stuff here in Republicans up in Washington talk about we fought the Democrats and got them to reduce spending. It was less than 1% of the budget.
I know.
It was 20 or $30 billion?
I think 38.
The way they're blowing money, the way government continues to grow, I am more appalled every day. The fact that they didn't shut down PBS, all this stuff we're funding that competes with the private sector is absolutely ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
The fact that we're world peacekeepers, every time I turn around, we're going to get involved in another war. It's the militarily, if you want to take over this country, what we're doing, spreading ourselves so thin in so many different countries, and financially the situation we're putting ourselves in, we are making ourselves more vulnerable every day.
I don't know if you followed any of the Donald Trump stuff, but he was doing an interview, and he said that when the Saudis and Egypt wanted us to go into Libya, we should have said, we'll do it. It's going to cost you this much. And they
absolutely.
And, that's the business approach, isn't it?
I've never been a big Donald Trump fan.
Right.
But he's right on that issue.
And that's what I thought. We don't think, as a government, as a country, we don't think about things in a business perspective.
And we should.
And we should, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. We don't take that opportunity to say, yes, we have the best military. Pay us to go in there if that's what you want us to do and do the job.
And I tried to tell people that we ought to, South Carolina and some of these rural communities ought to be in the prison business. It costs on average for us to house a prisoner about $30,000 a year. In Virginia, it costs them $60,000. Why not charge them $45,000 and make $15,000 a year off each one of those prisoners and create jobs?
Well, that's a great idea, Andre. And, that's the one thing, when you were in office, you were always coming up with ideas. I know you took a lot of heat when you talked about naming government buildings, and getting people to pay to put their name on the building.
I think government's got to get more creative, In addition, I think every young person ought to have to do something for a year for their country. I don't care if it's join the Peace Corps. I don't care if we go back to CC camps and they do stuff to improve the community. I mean, the problem is that when you're not vested in a system, it's easy to say, the government ought to take care of this or that. Well, the problem is the government's taking care of more and more. And the number of people that are paying for that government, it continues to become less and less. And, of course, you know, these are all topics nobody wants to talk, just like the fact that, you know, your educated people are not marrying as much. They're not having as many children anymore. And so, you know, are we ever going to address that situation? And then the very people that really financially can't take care of themselves continue to have more children. And, again, that's politically incorrect. It got me in hot water talking about it. It got me on every comedy show in the United States. But what really is a travesty is that in politics we don't engage in that type of conversation anymore.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, I'm going up to Washington, and I could use some pointers on what I should talk about. I'm going to Washington. I'm actually going to broadcast from Jeff Duncan's office. We're going to be talking to all our freshmen up there, plus Lindsey Graham and some others. What do you think I should try to get them to understand up there?
I feel like it falls on deaf ears a lot of times. They just, you become numb. You know, I'm not beating on them, but when you're in that position, it doesn't matter whether you're in Washington or whether you're at a grocery store. You're getting information overload. So many people tell you what they think ought to be done, and just like you and I and most of the people listening to this show tell them they ought to be doing conservative things, there's plenty of people telling them we ought to fund this or we ought to fund that, or, you know, and they sound like wonderful causes, but somehow you have to pay for all that. You know, the fact that nobody wants to ante up and be mature and say we ought to reduce or raise the age of Social Security. I mean, people are living longer than ever before. Why shouldn't we raise it? You know, when it was created, the lifespan was much shorter. The fact that we can't, you know, the lifespan is more than 20 years longer than it was created. But, yeah, we can't raise it 2 years now. You know, and so my point is that you come in their office and so do thousands of other people. And I think that when you've been there any length of time, you start to become numb because there's so many people pulling on you and telling you so many different things, you know, not to mention lobbyists, not to mention business owners, you know, other legislators. It is unless you've experienced it, it's hard to describe.
Oh, it has to be very, very hard. And I, you know, so far I think they've done an excellent job standing. But you know, the problem is it's not a large enough group to make a difference at this point.
No, we need to get more conservatives in there. But I'm real concerned that our president's going to get reelected.
Do you really think so?
I do. I don't see a clear front runner in the Republican field. I don't see any unity. There's different fractions now of the Republican Party. And the numbers continue to grow for the Democratic Party, whether you look at, you know, you name any, whether it's unions, school teachers, you know, minorities. The Republicans have written off so much and haven't done a good enough job to reach out and get those people back in the fold. The Democrat base continues to grow, and there's a smaller and smaller percentage of swing voters that you know, may vote for Republican or Democrat. And it's becoming, I think, extremely difficult for Republicans to win. And right now, we don't even have a candidate out there that's, you know, head and shoulders above the rest of them. And the fact that Donald Trump, who's never really been in politics and has had more bankruptcies than anybody that's well known, and left a lot of people holding the bag on a lot of business transactions, the fact that he's polling as one of the top people for the candidate for Republican president. Yeah, that says something. It says something about America. Some guy see a lot, they'll vote for.
Well, yeah, I know. And the other thing is the use of the social media. You know, I think President Obama is going to be on Facebook this afternoon with a town hall type meeting, actually from the Facebook headquarters there in California.
I mean, no question. He's been, you know, they've done a good job. I mean, the fact that we don't have any more information on this guy, and he manages to get elected, ought to tell you something about the electorate, about the people that are voting now, you know, about what they're really concerned with. It's a Hollywood election now.
Well, you know, and not only that, it takes so much money to run. I mean,
absolutely, and he's going to have close to $1 billion.
And I think the other question is, why did he have to start campaigning now? Should he not have been concentrating on...
Well, I don't criticize for that. I think that there are other presidents have started a year out, other governors have started a year out, and so there are a lot of things I want to criticize him for, and I don't think he ought to be doing that, but, you know, I can't criticize a Democrat and not criticize a Republican if they're both doing the same thing, and many others that have done that. I mean, but he had never really engaged in the job. It's been golf and travel, you know, I mean... so much of the things, closing Gitmo didn't happen, shutting these wars down didn't happen, not hiring lobbyists didn't happen. You know, you get the list goes on and on.
Yeah, I think he's going to have, but do you think he's going to have a difficult time once they come down to the actual election process between what he said he was going to do and what he's actually done, Andre?
I'm sorry, I missed that question.
It's
coming in kind of faint.
Okay, do you think he will have a difficult time when we actually get into the election on what he did do versus what he said he was going to do?
I don't know. The problem is there are not enough media outlets to really criticize him or question him. Mainstream media has given him a pass on everything from a birth certificate to college records. I mean, you look at George Bush, you look at Bob Dole, you look at Clinton, Gore, Kerry. We knew their military records. We knew their education records. We knew when they had a DUI. You know, over and above, research was done, and you had information to make an informed decision on what you thought about these individuals. We have not been able to find somebody that can say they saw this individual in class with them in college. Can't find anybody.
Right.
I mean, you know, so there. You know, I'm not one of these. You know, the Mars is. You know, there are people walking around on Mars, but clearly, people ought to be able to have enough information to elect the most powerful person in the world. And most people have very little information on this individual. And he just, you know, you're right, I didn't vote for him. But I saw a guy that did an incredible job to get elected, but has not done a whole lot once he's been in there except run a political machine and try to, you know, manipulate what the media says about him.
Yeah, I agree. But now let's get back to our state. What do you think about what's happening in South Carolina? I would really like to know how you felt about Governor Haley removing Marla Moore.
Well, Darla Moore, look, Governor Haley got elected on the same premise as Obama, a change. People said they wanted a change. So, you know, you really can't expect her to go in there and not change out these boards and commissions. If you wanted her to be governor, look, Darla Moore's done a lot for this university. She's a strong lady and she's a intelligent lady. But, you know, people say they're tired of rising cost of education. Well, you've got to get new people in there with new ideas if you want that. I'm not defending Nikki Haley's practice, but, you know, they didn't vote for me. They didn't vote for Gresham Barrett. They didn't vote for Henry McMaster. They voted for Nikki Haley because she ran a campaign that she was a better breath of fresh air, that she was more change, that she was less status quo. And so if you elect a candidate like that, you've got to expect them to come in and deliver on some of their promises, and that is what she's doing. And I don't know how you can be critical of that if, in fact, you voted for, because that's what you were asking for. So, you know, I think she's doing on that front exactly what she said she would do. I mean, my good friend right there in Greenwood, Paul Kinnamore, 29 years he's been on the Athletic Commission.
Yep.
29 years. I got a letter the other day. You've been replaced.
He's been replaced? Are you there?
You know.
I didn't hear you.
I said, my good friend right there in Greenwood, Paul Kinnamore,
right,
has been on the Athletic Commission for 29 years, and he was removed last week.
Wow.
29 years. Think of how many governors he's served through.
Absolutely.
More than seven governors?
Yep.
Seven or eight governors, depending on when he went in. So, you know, there are lots of folks that have been removed from boards of commission. My dad got put on by Governor Hodges on Archives and Natural History. Governor Sanford kept him. He was removed from his. This is a non-paying board. He's a big genealogy and history buff, and he serves just, you know, to try to make it better, and he was removed. And, you know, there's no hard feelings. I mean, I understand she wants to put different people in there with different ideas. I don't have a problem with that. So, you know, again, if you elect somebody, you know, I'm critical of Obama because I don't see change. I can't be critical of Haley because she's created change. In fact, that's what people ask for. And so, you know, the more creative she gets on ideas, I think, you know, I don't have to agree with someone that's a leader every time if they are trying to initiate positive change. Not everything's going to work, but if you're trying different things, if you're taking steps to create a different environment whereby we may get different results, you know, I approve of that. And again, I don't have to approve of every issue if you are trying to, you know, really make substantive change. If you are taking steps to engage in a different outcome.
Absolutely, absolutely. How do you think so far Nikki Haley is doing?
Well, I think that she started out the gate incredibly well. She surrounded herself by some of the sharpest people in South Carolina, Eleanor Kitzman, David Wilkins, Ted Pitts. I mean, she had really good people she picked around her. You know, she's had a couple victories, and now, you know, she's going to have, you know, some battles like the Amazon issue, and that's a tough issue to make a call on because, in fact, she ran on not subsidizing companies. But yet you don't want to let those jobs walk off either, so she's in a difficult situation there.
I think
Like the legislature is going to take care of it and we're going to get those jobs. But, you know, I'm not for subsidizing these big businesses either, but the problem is if we don't do something to make it attractive for them to come to South Carolina, they're going to go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Because other states, we have an unlevel playing field, and so we can say we don't like that type of business, and that's fine, but you're not going to have those businesses. I mean, Google came here, then they left.
Right.
You know, so we're going to have to get creative, especially in rural South Carolina, if we want businesses to come.
Well, you know, that's one of the always the topics, you know, we talked about before, venture capital and being able to get that in. I mean, we're still, where are we at on that, Andre?
On what?
Venture capital.
Well, you know, don't get me started on that. We started this venture capital fund, and all the people managing the fund, the vast majority of them are out-of-state companies. We're paying a higher rate. I think we're paying 7% interest on the thing, which is absolutely absurd when you can borrow money now for less than 4%. So the intentions were good, but we need to go back and revamp it. And it's very difficult for these South Carolina businesses to get the venture capital. I had a guy who tried and tried and tried to go through the process and couldn't get it.
Couldn't get it.
Now he's got a company, he got the capital from somewhere else, and he's doing extremely well. But you know, he'd been through it, he'd done his homework, and he said, look, you got all these non-South Carolina companies benefiting from South Carolina taxpayers.
Mm. So what do you think about the port issue, though? This is one that this is going to be a problem if we can't figure out a way. And do you have any ideas how we could figure out how to handle the port situation to get this study done?
To handle the ports?
To get the initial study done so that we can actually move forward with the port. What do you think the options are there?
Well, that's another thing. You know, it's so political. There are so many people that, you know, there are people that are concerned about the real estate. There are people that are concerned about attractive rates for in-state companies. There are people that are concerned that the port just make money. You know, so you've got to decide, number one, what's the objective of the port? Is it to just generate and help businesses in South Carolina bring new business? Is it for the port to make money? Is it for the port to be a real estate holding company because they hold some of the most valuable real estate in all of South Carolina? You know, and so they're different factions. Again, you know, another problem with the port is that they have to fight all these environmentalists. You know, so it just depends on what you think the role and responsibility of the port is. You know, Daniel Island could have been a place to move the port. That you know, so there's so many things. You know, they burned Bernie close. You know, gave him such a hard time, but my goodness, he had so many masters.
Yeah. So do you think we're going to be able to get that? Isn't the Corps of Engineers, even if the money could be raised in state, we can't even do it, though, can we?
Yeah, that's another issue you run into. And, of course, keep in mind the port's got to keep the city council happy, the county council happy, the state government happy, the federal government happy, the media happy, environmentalists happy.
Huh. Okay, so the port probably is going to be a problem for us.
Probably so.
You know,
that's why that port. That's why nothing's been done right there downtown. I mean, think about that property that's sitting there in downtown Charleston, right there on the waterfront. It's an amazing piece of property. I mean, really, that property shouldn't be used for a boat terminal or used for office space. It ought to be used for high-end retail and residential, which is what would generate the most revenue for that property.
Except, even Charleston has been hurt by the economy and everything. Do you see that even as a possibility that could happen if the economy is the economy going to turn around, Andre?
Well, we talked about Donald Trump earlier. He had an interest in that property. There are a lot of developers that would love to have that property. I mean, it's worth tens of millions of dollars.
Okay. Well, you know, I always enjoy talking to you because you always give us an interesting perspective. We did have a question come in. Let's see. Betty Leek says she checks the dating sites looking for him regularly. What's happening on your love life, I guess?
Now we're getting into the important stuff.
That's right. I was just trying to get you started here.
I have been dating for a while, a girl from Tennessee, and she was living here in South Carolina, but her mother is battling breast cancer, and she has had to move back to Tennessee to take care of her mother.
Ah, okay. So are you making any trips to Tennessee?
I do. It's a 6.5-hour drive, and I got a Toyota Avalon right now that can make it on one tank of gas.
Wow.
30.1 miles to the gallon, which is amazing.
It's amazing.
Especially at this gas price. Before long, I'm going to have to start riding a bike with what gas keeps going up.
Well, you know, that's another issue. Why is the price of gas? They just cut over there in Egypt or Saudi Arabia. They cut by what, 800,000 barrels because they feel we're oversupplied. Why?
Well, number one, we shouldn't be worried about getting our supply from them. We have it here, and the fact that we give Brazil money, the fact that we let all these other countries become mega rich off of us is absolutely deplorable.
It is, but you know, do you think we're ever going to get back to drilling? I mean, at the rate we're going, isn't it going to take us 2 or 3 years, even if they said tomorrow, go ahead and drill?
Well, it will take us some time, but I think we need to do it. I know we need to do it. We need to do it offshore. We need to do it in Alaska, everywhere we can do it. We also need to continue to come up with new creative ways. You know, as a taxpayer, I don't mind them spending money trying to come up with alternative fuels.
Right.
Because of our dependency and because militarily, that is one place we need to spend money as a country to protect ourselves.
Well, speaking about the country, I understand you've had some time to travel. You actually went up to my home state of Maine.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah? And so what have you seen when you've gone out in the world here since you've been free to do so?
I took a trip and did the Eastern Seaboard, and then I took one to Florida and spoke at an event with Jeb Bush. A couple weeks ago, I went to the race in Texas. I've been getting a little bit more time, but, you know, a lot of states. We're not the only state struggling, contrary to popular belief. We're actually in a lot better shape financially than a lot of the other states are.
Any possibility of you becoming a race car driver?
All I need is sponsor. All I need is sponsor.
Well, you heard it right here.
I actually drove, in the last 60 days, I've driven Charlotte and Miami, Homestead, and I know I'm driving in 2 weeks. I'll be driving the Richmond track right before the race.
So you are this could be a possibility for Andre Bauer.
Sure. I had a race speed at Charlotte Motor Speedway the other day, 181.94.
Well, you always did like speed, Andre. We knew that about you.
Yeah, well, now I watch everybody go blowing by me. I set that cruise on about 3 or 4 over,
yeah.
And I let everybody just blow by me. I'm in no hurry anymore. Got nowhere that I have to be. In the old days, I had everybody that wanted me somewhere, everybody I tried to commit and not turn anybody down, and then they expected me, when I say I had to go, they expect me to sit there and answer their questions. They got mad if I had to leave, but they thought I had this magic carpet that I could get to the next place without speeding, so it put me in a heck of a bind. So it has been nice not to have to be in any hurry to get anywhere.
Okay, well, you heard it right here, folks. Former Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer is looking forward to becoming a race car driver if we could find some sponsors for him. Is that correct?
Sure. We'll try to get Paul Kenham over there. Go buy a few more lawnmowers and chainsaws, and maybe Paul can sponsor me.
He would like that, probably. Let's see. We just had a call from John Collins. The Kenmore replacement is ridiculous. He sounds like someone that will be in a campaign if given an opportunity. I think he must be talking about you. If he needs a different campaign staff, can you say president in 2016?
I got zero interest.
Zero?
Zero. I have zero interest. None whatsoever. That somebody else's baby. I will say this, on a different note about Paul Kenmore, he is a fine, fine individual, but he and I have got Tony Dorsett coming to Columbia, and we're going to do a fundraiser for my charity. And Tony Dorsett's going to come and speak, and we're going to do a dinner, and so I'll keep you posted on that, but Paul's good friends with him, and I talked to him the other day. He and I got Tony on the phone together, and Tony has committed to come and help us out with raising some money for charity.
That's great. Now, which charity is this?
The Palmetto Tomorrow Foundation. You know, you helped me give out blankets and fans.
Sure.
And that's how we raise money to do that, you know, different creative ways. You know, I believe in helping people. I just don't believe the government ought to do it all.
Well, that's right. And we need to, I guess comes fall now, or if you're doing some fans, I want you to put me on the list and stop by here and let's do it.
Okay.
That would be a lot of fun. Now, I also had another call here that said, retired Captain Jack Peel, with the widening of the Panama Canal to keep traffic, it has to be deepened and larger cranes brought in. Do you already have, do you have a plane still?
I am planeless currently. I bought Michael Waltrip's plane last year, but, you know, because of property taxes were going to be due in January, so I sold it in December. And so when we think that property taxes and all these extremely high taxes don't affect people, they do. I'd still own that plane, except for I didn't want to pay the property taxes, and every January 1, whoever owns it has to pay the taxes. And so I decided it was more beneficial to me to get rid of the plane. And so, again, you know, I hear these people say, oh, people don't care. How many seen mega yachts have you seen off the coast of South Carolina? How come they're off the coast of Florida and the Bahamas? It's because they're not paying the property taxes that South Carolina wants. South Carolina's not getting it. So we're getting a whole lot of nothing on that 10.5% that they want for mega yachts and planes.
Right.
We get very little. But if they would charge like 2 or 3%, you'd get millions and millions of dollars in revenue.
Well, you know, as usual, it is the voice of common sense right here. And I wanted to ask you, you know, I went to that tribute show I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. I saw your name on the list as one of the sponsors.
On what?
The tribute show for the veterans of World War II.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And I actually had the pleasure of sitting right behind a Pearl Harbor survivor that was sitting right in front of me, George Denton from down there in Charleston. And he actually was on the beach when the bombs started to fall over there.
Isn't that amazing? My grandfather was actually, I got to go visit the USS Midway, which at the time it was built, it was the largest ship in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather was the executive officer, and so we got to go visit it this summer. And they had the first program that they had ever printed, a weekly newsletter, and it had him on the cover.
How about that?
Which was neat. He ended up earning a Flying Cross and a Silver Star and is buried right out in front of Lee's house in Arlington, right at the top of the hill right out front.
How about that? That's really neat. But
He had his, about 5 years ago, his ship, the ship that he got after that he was a captain of, had their reunion in Charleston. They asked me to come speak.
Wow.
Which was neat.
You know, I just think it amazing. I think George is 88 years old. He's been married for something like 66 years. His wife was there with him. We had a great conversation, and I just really treasure it. Just this week, we had Colonel Charles Drake was on my show. He's actually getting an award from going up there to Washington. One of the reasons we're going to Washington is to cover this. Jeff Duncan is going to be giving him an award. They're going to see the helicopter that actually was in his unit over there in Vietnam.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. It is amazing. There is, you know, and I think that's, we have so many treasures with our elder people. And, you know, of course, I know you were passionate about the Lieutenant Governor's office, about helping seniors, and you're still doing that.
I am. And, of course, Ken Ard, you know, is working at it, too. I know he's got comments in the AARP bulletin that just came out about things he's trying to do for seniors. So, you know, I appreciate him picking up the baton and moving forward with it.
Now, speaking of the Lieutenant Governor's office, Ken Ard has been a guest on our show many times. What do you think about putting the governor and lieutenant governor in one ticket?
I don't personally like it because it basically allows millionaires to get elected, and that's it. You pick somebody that can help fund the campaign, or you pick, you know, somebody that brings a lot of votes. So, and then basically the lieutenant governor is just a yes man to the governor. That's all you are. Whereas the lieutenant governor is the president of the Senate. And so you've got the yes man, the governor's control, the person the governor controls, because that's where they get their job from, running the South Carolina Senate. So you don't have a break in powers. You have the governor controlling the upper chamber, and that's not what our forefathers thought. And well, one might argue and say, well, that's not true because the U.S. Senate has the vice president presiding. No, the vice president only presides in ceremonial times. The vice president does not preside over the Senate the rest of the time. So I'm not for it, but it will end up passing because they'll push for it and the media will be for it. But you've seen in several states where they're doing just the opposite. They're making it separate. It's about 50-50 in states that elect it and appoint it. Right. Most of our neighbors, like Georgia and North Carolina, they run separately. Virginia, they run separately.
Well, if he was not the president presiding over the Senate, would that make a difference to you?
It'd be better. Clearly, if you're going to have a lieutenant governor controlled by the governor, they shouldn't be president of the Senate. But again, then a common person like myself would never have the opportunity to get elected. You know, I would have never known who a governor was. A governor would have never picked me. And so we're taking it out of the hands of average everyday citizens, which is what government's supposed to be about, and we're putting it into an exclusive club where a very limited number of people would ever get to be lieutenant governor.
Okay. All right. Now, I just had a question from Beth Carlisle. She says she loves your energy. Would you take a save your state position from Haley like a business omnibus czar?
If the governor wanted me to do something that would help this state, I sure would.
Great. All right. That's an excellent, excellent question and a good answer. Good to know that Andre's out here for our state. So let's see, what else is going on? You've traveled, you've been able to, how is the money-making going on the personal side here?
Well, I unlike a lot of my friends over the years, when I made money, I didn't run out and spend it. You know, I still packed my lunch and still drove a used car and still lived within my means. And so, you know, I've been saving a long, long time, and I don't have a wife or kids. And so I live within my means, and I'm able to continue to keep investing, and so it's been great for me. I bought a lot of foreclosures. I fixed them up, and I'm sitting in a lawyer's office right now doing my phone interview, but I had a closing today. I've got one tomorrow, so I'm working it pretty hard. And I don't run out when I make some money and buy a new Ferrari. I reinvest it, and I keep, you know, buying more houses. And again, you know, I've been living in a very, you know, $100,000 condo for a long time. It's paid for, and, you know, doing all I can to save a buck where I can, and my buddies make fun of me, and you know, that's why a lot of them get in financial situations.
Well, that's true, but on the overall scope of what's happening here in South Carolina, do you think we're going to turn South Carolina around? The heck with the nation, do you think we're going to turn South Carolina around?
Yes.
Okay, and do you think we'll be able to get the jobs in here that are going to make the difference, Andre?
We have every opportunity to, and so, you know, that's just not the governor's burden. The legislature has got to make it an environment that is conducive to bring business in. So if they continue to be proactive and they got a good leader in Bobby Harrell, then, yes, they'll be able to do that. And they've had some good victories. I mean, look, Sanford should get accolades for his last year or so in office. He and Joe Taylor set the woods on fire. They created a lot of new opportunities, brought a lot of businesses in. I mean, look at Boeing. What is that going to do? When we're dead, Boeing may still be here creating jobs.
Well, and he created a lot of press for South Carolina, too.
You know, I'm not here to beat the guy up. I mean, BMW expanded. I mean, we had so many new things happen in South Carolina. But, again, we've got to do something about property tax. Act 388 is killing it for people that want to open businesses here unless they can get a huge tax break. So that's got to be addressed. You know, what we're doing, I will tell you one place we got a real problem, and that's workers' comp.
Yep, I agree with you there. And how is that going to be?
And not as much workers' comp as unemployment. You know, what they're having to pay now, they're killing it for the small business owner.
Yes, they are.
And I hate to do this, but my phone has blown up since you and I have been on here. I got to get back to to making a living.
All right, well, I understand. Listen, you know what, Andre, I sure appreciate you calling in. I wanted to know when we could expect you to start your radio show, like How to Live Free and Survive in the New Reality, something like that.
Hey, I'd love to do your show anytime you want to do it.
Okay. All right, listen, God bless you, Andre, and thanks so much for calling us today.
Hey, I love you, Ann. I appreciate you having me on. I always enjoy it.
All right, thanks so much, Andre.
See you now.
Bye-bye. All right, well, that was the one and only... our former Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer stirring up, mixing it up. We talked about a lot of different things here today, and I am just thrilled that he was able to call us becoming a race car driver. I think that might be perfect for Andre if we can only find him some sponsors. And maybe Paul Kennemore will be able to help with that. And, of course, they've got some good things that are going to be coming up. We're going to be in the loop on that, and I sure hope you're going to stay right here with us on WLMA right here in Greenwood. Let's hear a word from our sponsors, and I'll be right back.
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.